Good evening, everybody. In this world, we are pilgrims that's on a journey. This is not our home. This is not our home. One day we will pass on from this earth and we will spend the rest of our days with our Lord in eternity. Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said, "You may think you can live without Christ, but you cannot afford to die without Him." We cannot afford to die without the Lord. There's a story about a sculptor who was approached by a potential client. And he was asked to make a horse out of stone. And the sculptor agreed and said, "It's fine, we'll do it." And one morning the sculptor comes out into his porch, and he looks into his yard, and there's a huge boulder. Drinking his coffee, he goes and he looks, and a passerby came and said, "What's this for?" He says, "I'm going to make a horse." "A horse? How are you going to make a horse with this?" He says, "Well, I'll just chip out what doesn't look like a horse. I'll just chip out what does not look like a horse." Now, in life, as the years have gone by, we've picked up things in our life. We've formed habits. We've taken things onto our shoulder. And I want to tell you something. We need to start chipping it out if it does not conform to Jesus Christ. I would like you to turn to the book of Peter, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 to 17. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 to 17. "Dear friends, I warn you as temporary residents and foreigners to keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your very souls. Be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. Then even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honorable behavior, and they will give honor to God when He judges the world. For the Lord's sake, respect all human authority, whether the king as head of state or the officials he has appointed. For the king has sent them to punish those who do wrong, to honor those who do right. It is God's will that your honorable lives should silence those ignorant people who make foolish accusations against you. For you are free, yet you are God's slaves. Don't use your freedom as an excuse to do evil. Respect everyone and love your Christian brothers and sisters. Fear God and respect the king." I want to go back to verse 16. It says, "For you are free, yet you are God's slaves. So do not use your freedom as an excuse to do evil." We are free. Amen? Yesterday, I had the privilege of joining in a service in the prison. Excellent service. And when everything was done, we were busy packing up and the incarcerated was going back to the sections. A young guy came up to me and said, "Ryan, how are you? Long time no see." And I thought to myself, "Who are you?" He says, "Can't you remember me?" And I said, "No, I can't remember you. We were in school together. For 3 years, we were together in the same class." And I looked at him, I said, "Chicken, is that you?" And Well, we called him Chicken because it was his nickname. And he said, yes, it's me. I said, Chicken, what are you doing here? He says, well, after school, no work, no money, so I decided to get up to mischief. Armed robbery, breaking in the house, and so on. And you know what? It bugged me. It really did bug me. And for that 3 minutes of speaking, I kind of figured out that when he got there, people started working with him. And slowly but surely, he's regretting what he has done. And I would think that he is moving on the straight and narrow, although I haven't been able to really sit down and talk to him. But when I was driving, I said, Lord, how can it happen? You know, you think you know a person. You think you know a person. And then the next best thing, they're sitting across the road. Life happens. Things happen. So, like Chicken, before he got caught, he was a slave to this world. Before he gave his heart to the Lord, if he did, Chicken was a slave to this world. I want to ask you, in your personal life, not here in front of everybody, when the door is closed in your room, what are you a slave to? What are you a slave to? What holds you captive? What's keeping you in bondage? I want to tell you that slavery is an obstacle to God's grace. Slavery is an obstacle to God's grace. Friends, don't ever let the enemy rob you of your joy. Don't ever. Because, firstly, the world didn't give you the joy that you have. It comes from the Lord. Hold on to it. The word says in the Bible says in Galatians chapter 5, verses 1, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Yes, we have challenges in life. Yes, we have downfalls. Yes, we have problems. It's life. We are human. It's there. But the problem is we have started to engage in things. In our lives, we have started to engage in things that we should not be engaging with. We've loaded things onto our lives. We fear for our failing health. Things are not going right. We start worrying. We look at the country in the way it is. We worry, God, where is this country going to? We pray, we worry. We say, where's our future? What future do we have? And with this, we carry an empty Santa bag on our shoulder. And we load it up with rocks of worry. We fall into sin. And some people actually enjoy what they do. And at the end of the day, you are carrying in your life a 10-kilo bag of potatoes. And you're journeying through your life. God has not intended for us to follow in this way. He wants us to be a free people, free in liberty and free to worship. We're not the only ones who suffered, or we're not the only ones who are suffering, or going through trials, or going through hardships. There's a man in the Bible, and I'm sure we all know of him, Paul, who wrote just under half of the New Testament. Even Paul said, the things that I should be doing, I do not do. And the things that I should be doing, I don't do. That tells me already this guy had issues. He had issues. Then he says, O wretched man that I am, who will save me from this body of death? Who will save me from this body of death? In John 4, we read when Jesus went to Jacob's well, he met a woman that came from Samaria. And they had a good conversation. And he revealed who he was to her. And he said, Woman, where is your husband? And she said, Sir, I do not have one. And he said, You speak the truth, because you've had many other men, and the one that you live with now It's not your husband. She went down to the town and she said, come and see a man that knows everything about me. First time, first encounter with Jesus, and she knew everything. Now, I'm telling you this because in your life, I don't know what obstacles that you are facing. I don't. I may never know. The church may never know. Even our own families may never know. But Jesus knows. And from Him, nothing is hidden. Nothing is hidden. You know, the enemy, the Bible says this enemy, this devil, is like a roaring lion. You ask God for forgiveness and He comes to you and He tells you, hey, Stacy, I still know what you did last summer. Hey? But I want to tell you, church, when the devil comes to you and says, he still knows what you did last summer, I want to tell you something. Turn back and say, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. All fear is gone. He holds my hand. Amen. He holds my hand. And he is a defeated foe. In John chapter 8, verses 36, it says, if the Son sets you free, you will be free. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. And that settles it. Jesus is the only one that can free you. Why? Because it is Jesus who paid the price for you. Jesus paid the price for you. He bought you with His blood. You are His. You do not belong to the world. Jesus did it. Not me. Not your friends. Not your family. Jesus died on the cross for you. It's with His own blood that you've been bought. Jesus. It's Jesus. Not you. Not you. Jesus. Jesus that has paid the price for us. Jesus, the only way that we can be saved. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, for God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, but love, power, and a sound mind. Hear that. He has not given us a spirit of fear, but love, power, and a sound mind. Now, with that being said, church, I refuse to be a slave to sin. I refuse. I will not. Especially when God has paid so much to hang on a cross, have His blood spilled out. And when He died, that amount of pain for me, and I still want to be held in bondage, forget it. Forget it. The again, back on Charles Spurgeon, he says that you'll never know the fullness of Christ. You'll never know the fullness of Christ until you know the emptiness of everything else but Christ. We will never. Israel had always had a peculiar history. Never the best of people, if you read. Never the best of people. Always up to nonsense somewhere along the line. Hey? Look how they started off. Then God, well, they moved into Egypt, and one or two pharaohs had passed, a couple of generations had passed, and the pharaohs said, you know what? These Israelites, they are growing. And sooner or later, they may just take over the whole show here. So what happened to them? They went into slavery. They went into bondage. And Israel wanted to be free from their oppressors. So what did God do? He led them out of slavery. But then there's a change. The change starts where they say, God, or we don't want to live like this anymore. We were better off when we were slaves. We were better off when we were slaves. I've heard of, being involved in a prison ministry, I've heard of prisoners that are released. They get into the streets and they commit a crime purposely just to go back into prison. I can't understand it. You commit a crime to go back into slavery. I want to encourage you today. God has set us free. Do not be like Israel. where God frees us, yes. Don't go back. I encourage you, move forward. Grow and thrive. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 14, it says, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me, heavenward in Christ Jesus. He loves you. How much does he love you? How much does he love you? So much? That much. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 49, please. Isaiah chapter 49, verses 15 to 16. It says, never can a mother forget her nursing child, can she feel no love for the child she has born. But even if that were possible, I will never forget you. See, I have written your name on the palm of my hand. I have written your name in the palm of my hand. So let me talk to the mothers a bit. When you had a child in your stomach, did you ever forget that child? Your child is born now. Do you ever forget your child or your children? Never. But God is saying, just in case, you do, I will never forget you. I love you so much, I've even carved you in the palm of my hand. That is how much God loves us. Say it with me, he loves me. He loves me. Okay, slap the person next to you and tell them he loves me. He loves me. That's how much God loves us. He loves us. That he's even carved us in the palm of his hands. There's an old story about a man called Abraham Lincoln. He was passing by who knows where. But as he was going with his troops, he passed a slave block. There was an auction taking place. And he saw a beautiful African-American woman on stage being auctioned off. And people were bidding for her. And he said, well, he didn't say anything. He went there and he started auctioning. And she stood there and she looked at them. And you could imagine the hate in her eyes. You could imagine the hate in her heart, the way she felt. She said, these men, they are going to buy me, they are going to use me, they are going to abuse me, and they are going to throw me away. She had every right to feel that way. And then guess who was the highest bidder? It was Abraham Lincoln. And he took her. And his men couldn't control her. She was in chains. She was violent. She was vicious. And she just did not want to be taken captive. And then he turns around, takes the key, unlocks the chains, and says, you are free. Go. In her anger, she says, what? I'm free. He says, yes, young lady, you are free. He says, what does it mean to be free? It means you're free. You can go. Does it mean I can say what I want to say? Yes, you can say what you want to say. Can I do what I want to do? Yes, you can do what you want to do. Can I behave in the way I want to behave? Yes, you can behave in the way you want to behave. Then she said, can I go wherever I want to go? And he said, yes, you can go wherever you want to go. And so he leaves the lady here and he starts walking. And she looks at her chains. And she looks at Abraham Lincoln walking down. And she ran. She ran to him and she said, if I can go wherever I want to go, then I want to go with you. I want to go with you. Now, like the slave girl who chose to follow Abraham Lincoln, the man who paid for her. We too can choose to follow Jesus Christ, the one who paid for us. Jesus paid the price so that we can be set free. In the book of Romans chapter 6 verses 22, it says, "But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life." Eternal life. Today we are going to pray. And we can speak to God, because, you know, sometimes there is things that gets us down and it pulls us down. But let me tell you something. I can't break it. Only the Lord can. Only Jesus Christ can. Eternal life. Guys, push on. Push on. Press on. It won't be much longer. We are only passing by here. One day we will be with the Lord. You know, there's a songwriter that says, "What a day it will be when my Jesus I will see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. And when he takes me by the hand and leads me to the promised land, what a day, glorious day it will be." Let's all stand. Our Father God, we come before you today. Thank you that you are a great God. Lord, your word is full of promises and full of love. Lord, it is you that took dust from the earth and created man. It is you, Father, when Pharaoh refused to release the Israelites, it was you that came over Egypt and you killed the firstborn. Father, it is you who spoke to the prophet about the coming of Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, it is you who spoke to that woman at the well of Jacob. Lord, it is you who spoke to Lazarus and Lazarus, come out. It is you. It is you, Father, Lord Jesus, who died on the cross of Calvary for our sins. It is you. And Lord, today, whatever baggages or whatever hindrances or whatever obstacles there may be in our lives, if you do not release it, if you do not set us free from it, it cannot be done. Father, we look to you today, O God. We draw strength from you, Father, and I pray for each and every person that is here. We have challenges. We have hurt. We have heartache. We have things that are failing in our life. Our world is falling all over. Our country is not in the state it should be. But Father, we look to you. We look to you. We draw strength from you. Father, I want to pray right now for strongholds in people's lives. Whatever it is, Father, we break it in the name of Jesus. We cut it off and we rebuke it in Jesus' name. Father, we pray, Lord, your word says, "He who the Son sets free is free indeed." Thank you, Lord, that we are a free people. Thank you, Lord, that when we walk out of here, God, that everything that has been holding us back will be released in Jesus' name. I pray, Lord, that even as we go or we leave our comfort zones and enter into the mission field, Father, we will be walking in your grace, I pray, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we lift you up and we give you all praise, glory, and honor, for only you are worthy. And we thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in each and everyone's heart today. Amen.